Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Council approves $750,000 for Small Business Grant Program, by Caitlin Randall. The Midland City Council on Tuesday approved releasing the remaining $750,000 allotted for its Small Business Grant Program after a larger number of applications were received than expected during the first phase of funding. The Council budgeted $1 million in CARES Act funding for the program in December, but approved using only $250,000 at that time as they waited to see how much interest the program would receive. Council members had planned to release the remaining funds in increments of $250,000, but fast-tracked the money on Tuesday. From a staff standpoint, we've been very pleased with how fast it's grown and how well it's going, Chuck Harrington, Development Services Director, told the council during Tuesday's meeting. He said they've received 145 applications, and Midland College, which partnered with the city to vet applicants, has determined that 138 of those businesses qualify for the program. Grants of $10,000 have already been distributed to 25 businesses, and 71 more grants will be given out now that the council approved the funds on Tuesday, Harrington said. Midland College received about $40,000 for setting up the program and vetting applicants. The 71 grants will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis determined by when businesses submitted their applications. Council members discussed allotting additional funds to the 42 businesses that qualified for the program but will not receive grants. They said they will consider approving more funding at a later date. For businesses to be eligible, they needed to employ 20 or fewer employees, be current on all fees owed to the city, and not have declared bankruptcy in the last year. The program was modeled after the City of Odessa Business Assistance Program, which was approved in August. Businesses in Odessa received grants ranging from $2,500 to $10,000. Harrington said large companies are not taking advantage of the program, and the grants have gone to local small businesses like nail salons and massage therapists. It's not the big companies or anything of that nature. It's the little people who are receiving the benefit of this, he said. This article is entitled Midland Health. MISD Mask Policy is Right Thing to Do for the Time Being, by Stuart Doreen. The decision of the Midland ISD Board to keep the current mask policy got the seal of approval from health and community leaders. Those leaders included Dr. Larry Wilson, Midland Health's Vice President of Medical Affairs. He said during the Unified Command Team's press conference Tuesday that the decision by education leaders was the right thing to do for the time being. Let's hang in there for a few more weeks. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton also said that a cautious approach is what has put Midland ISD ahead of the nation as far as returning to school and bringing cases down. Midland ISD reported on its website that there have been 8 cases reported by staff and students this month. The Midland Health Department reported this week that there were 61 cases last week across Midland County, the fewest in a week going back to January. The ongoing mitigation efforts the district might institute just to finish the school year is really a very small ask for those of us in the community. For them to be able to finish the school year, great, to be able to have graduations and things like that, Payton said. So I applaud them, and we support the things they're trying to do to just get past what we've gone through this entire year. On Monday, Midland ISD leaders decided to continue the policy of having students and staff wear masks as a mitigation effort. This decision came as a small percentage of school districts, including Greenwood and Big Spring ISDs, are allowing parental and student choice. Midland Health CEO Russell Myers stated that the school district has been very thoughtful about considering its options. He added that the decision at the school board meeting is consistent with what we've been saying, that the masking and social distancing strategies work, and it's too soon for us to lift those. He added that the hospital district is not lifting its mask policies inside the hospital and among its workforce. Through the end of the school year, there's ample evidence in staying the course and continuing what we know has been working, Myers said Tuesday. So I have no criticism whatsoever for the school district's decision-making. I think it's been thoughtful and it considered the reality of where we are. During the meeting, there were more than twice the number of speakers for changing the policy than for keeping masks in place. Those speaking against the current policy were emotional in delivering their remarks. Midland ISD Chief of Staff Katie Atkins said Tuesday that the lower number of COVID cases inside the district is really great news, not only from a health perspective, but also from an academic perspective, because we have students who are back in school and they are not sick. It shows that we have teachers teaching who are not sick. She said the board's decision to follow the staff's recommendation means that the mask requirements will remain in place throughout the end of the school year. She also said because of health dynamics in place that district officials are discussing easing our restrictions on our visitors and volunteers on campuses. She also said more information will be shared with parents and the community about field days coming up and adjustments that might take place when it comes to field trips and travel. That's still under further conversation, Atkins said. We're also very happy that traditional spring events like graduation and prom will take place this year. Most families have already received this information from their schools this past weekend. Wilson said he talked with Midland ISD officials about their policy last week. He said Tuesday he endorsed staff recommendations on the matter and that, like the mayor stated earlier in the press conference, we've come to this point by virtue of doing the right thing. Let's hang in there for a few more weeks. I think it's not going to be much longer before we start having a more relaxed policy among our public or unified command, Wilson stated. Folks, we're very, very close, but we need to get more people vaccinated before I'm going to feel comfortable being unmasked in public forums. This article is entitled PA Program Growth Expected to Provide More Access to Health Care by Stuart Doreen. 3/4 of the 160 physician assistants in the Permian Basin are Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center alums. On Tuesday, a groundbreaking for the PA program's expansion took place, one that is expected to provide more access to health care for the people of the Permian Basin and West Texas. Physician assistants make great health care possible, State Representative Tom Craddock said. Joining Craddock for the announcement of the $30 million expansion behind the current facility at Midland College were officials with Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, Midland College, the Midland Development Corporation, the City of Midland, the Permian Strategic Partnership, and Scarborough Foundation. Those in attendance saw more than the ceremonial shovels, but renderings of a 32,500-square-foot facility that will include an anatomy lab, clinical classrooms, and training facilities. The labs, it was noted, will be available for nursing students as well as healthcare professionals throughout the Permian Basin. The anatomy lab is expected to prevent students from having to travel to Lubbock. Craddock said it is expected to be the largest full anatomy lab in West Texas. The expansion will allow PA class size to increase from 60 to 72 students. Project completion is set for summer 2022. This was $20 million put to good use, said Craddock, of the money secured during the 2019 legislative session. It is an investment in the Permian Basin and quality health care. The investment included $20 million from the state, $5 million from the Midland Development Corporation, $2.5 million from the Permian Strategic Partnership, and $1 million from the Scarborough Foundation. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center also reported an additional $1.5 million from other gift funding and TTU HSC institutional funds. We truly value these generous gifts, which will allow us to expand both the infrastructure and student body of our PA program, said TTU HSC President Lori Rice Spearman in a press release. The support for this expansion also represents a collaborative effort between TTU HSC and those in our campus community who recognize the need for additional healthcare providers in this region and throughout the state, and who trust us to meet those needs. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center reported that its physician assistant program attracts about 28 applicants per available spot, compared to 3.5 applicants per spot nationally. Currently, there are 112 students in the program, according to officials. PA students have consistently maintained a 5-year first-time pass rate on their licensure exams at or above the national average of 95%, a press release stated. The PA profession can help expand primary care by partnering with collaborating physicians and serve those in rural and underserved communities, said Christina Robom-Levitt, regional dean for the Physician Assistant Program. Expansion of this program is an opportunity for TTU HSC to increase access to healthcare by doing what we do best, educate and train excellent providers. All of our partnerships are critical to the expansion project. We are extremely grateful to Representative Tom Craddock and the Texas Legislature, the Midland Development Corporation, Permian Strategic Partnership, and the Scarborough Foundation for their generous investments, bringing us one step closer to our goal. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled "City to Rename East Midland Road After Local Pastor" by Caitlin Randall. A road will be renamed to honor Pastor William C. Keenan of Faith Temple Church of God in Christ after the Midland City Council approved the change on Tuesday. The 400 block of East Jax Avenue between Faith Temple Church of God and General Franks Elementary School will be renamed Keenan Avenue for the 89-year-old pastor. Keenan has been a Midland resident for 48 years and founded the church in 1974, according to a letter requesting the name change sent by Patricia Caldwell, a member of the church congregation. Pastor Keenan will be celebrating 90 years of life in October, the Lord allows, and we feel this would be a befitting acknowledgement of appreciation for his past and continued contributions to our community and city, she said in a letter. There are no properties addressed on that segment of East Jax Avenue, making it an easy name change, unlikely to cause driver confusion, according to the city planning staff. Keenan has 4 children who attended Robert E. Lee High School and stayed in the community in the education and medical fields, Caldwell said. Keenan is a U.S. Air Force veteran who was studying medicine at the Hampton Institute in Virginia when he signed up for a 4-year tour of duty, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. He told the Reporter Telegram at the time that he intended to remain pastor of Faith Temple Church for the remainder of his life. "I'll be staying as pastor until death takes me," he said. "There's no retirement in this. I'll be here until my life is finished, and until then, I will do everything I can to strengthen the church."
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. State opens eligibility for shots. Ector County approaching 30% vaccinated, by Laura Dennis. Health officials in Odessa continue to plead with Odessaans to get vaccinated and say there is no reason not to, as the state of Texas on Monday opens eligibility to all adults across the state. Medical Center Hospital CEO Russell Tippin on Tuesday's Zoom news conference said there is no reason not to get a vaccine now. "The clinics are there, plenty," of vaccines are available in Ector County, he said, adding that both hospitals still encourage Odessaans to wear masks. Take care of yourself and take care of others, he said. It comes down to each person deciding what is best for themselves. When you are ready, all you have to do is come to one of our clinics. MCH continues to administer the first of two COVID-19 vaccines at local clinics and also now at pop-up events around the community. Odessa Regional Medical Center continues to offer the second dose. Odessa now has about 30% vaccination rate for adults over 16, which is much higher than the 11% in other Texas cities. On Tuesday, the Texas Department of State Health Services announced that starting Monday, vaccine supplies will increase and that the vaccine is now open to everyone who falls under the current Food and Drug Administration emergency use authorizations to protect as many Texans as possible. We are closing in on 10 million doses administered in Texas, and we want to keep up the momentum as the vaccine supply increases, said Imelda Garcia, DSHS Associated Commissioner for Laboratory and Infectious Disease Services and the chair of the Expert Vaccine Allocation Panel. As eligibility opens up, we are asking providers to continue to prioritize people who are the most at risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death, such as older adults. DSHS has directed vaccine providers to prioritize people 80 years or older when scheduling appointments and accommodate anyone in that age group who presents for vaccination, whether or not they have an appointment, by immediately moving them to the front of the line. That will ensure vaccination of anyone 80 or older with as small a burden on themselves as possible. Also, DSHS next week will launch a website to allow people to register for a shot through some public health providers. The public will be able to enroll in the Texas Public Health Vaccine Scheduler to identify upcoming vaccine clinics hosted by DSHS or a participating local health department and be notified when new clinics and appointments become available. People can continue to find additional providers, though, through the DSHS vaccine information page at dshs.texas.gov/COVID-vaccine or on the COVIDinthebasin.com website. MCH Chief Nursing Officer Christian Abbott Timmons said MCH has done pop-up clinics at two churches this week as part of reaching out to the community. You will see more popping up in the community to open up more opportunities to get the vaccine. She said West and Southside churches are part of the initial outreach as they were so far from Ratliff Stadium shot clinic in February and March. She said churches in other areas of town will also be part of the upcoming events, pointing out that many need the shots to come to them rather than going to a clinic setting. Both hospitals reported that about 50% of their own staff members have taken the vaccine. Tippin said numbers continue to trend in a good direction, and ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravana, said getting vaccinated in Odessa's opportunity to accelerate the healing process and an opportunity to help our community and get the pandemic behind us and get back to our lives. He said Odessa made it through two big spikes in numbers and now has the opportunity to get as many people vaccinated as possible. He praised Odessa's 35% to 30% vaccination number, saying kudos to all of us. We will be better for it and are less likely to see the third wave. How to get the shots. At MCH urgent care locations, 7 days a week during business hours, 3001 JBS Parkway and 6030 West University Boulevard. No appointment needed. Walk in and you will be able to get the first dose of the vaccine. MCH has 18 COVID patients in-house with 7 in CCU and 7 on ventilators. ORMC CEO Stacy Brown said ORMC has excellent news with only 3 in-house with 1 in ICU and none on ventilators. Second doses will be administered by ORMC by appointment following the first shot. Burn ban back on. The caption reads, Ector County Library, located at 321 West 5th Street, is Ector County's third public library building. Several women's clubs persuaded the county to refurbish the old courthouse, Jail Square, at Odessa's first public library in 1938. In 1942, a new library was constructed at 622 North Lee, functioning for 39 years until a 300,000 item inventory required a larger space. Ector County Commissioners heard a request Tuesday to spend $1.5 million upgrading the heating, air conditioning, and lighting at the library. Drought prompts burn ban. Commissioners mull library needs by OA News at oaoa.com. Ector County Commissioners thoroughly debated enacting a countywide burn ban Tuesday before deciding on a 3-2 vote to proceed with one. Assistant Odessa Fire Chief Joey White said a ban would be well justified, especially with a raging grass fire already having blackened 500 acres Tuesday morning along the Ector-Winkler County line, requiring the attention of multiple fire departments. Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez joined Precinct 2 Commissioner Greg Simmons in voting no, saying it's more the responsibility of individuals than the county to avoid fires and that yet another ban might be needed this summer. Noting that the court had enacted prohibitions of all outside burning except under the supervision of the fire department last July and November, White said, let's put the ban back on. He explained that recent high winds have made Ector County more combustible and that this ban shouldn't be needed for more than 5 or 6 weeks. White said the Winkler-Ector fire was not caused by the carelessness of an individual, but rather by strong winds downing a power line. Precinct 1 Commissioner Mike Gardner, who had proposed the ban, moved to enact it, seconded by Judge Debbie Hayes and backed by Precinct 3 Commissioner Don Stringer. In other business, the court heard a request by Building Maintenance Director Charles Pierce to spend $1.5 million upgrading the heating, air conditioning, and lighting at the Ector County Library. The commissioners voted to table the matter till the next regular meeting, April 12th, and then appoint a committee to study all library-related issues, including a foul odor emanating from the sewer line. Accompanied by a representative of Johnson Controls, which is replacing the lights in all other county buildings, Pierce said his department could make numerous improvements and that it would be cheaper to involve the Johnson Company now rather than to call them back later. Sheriff Mike Griffiths temporarily withdrew a $404,433 plan to buy an array of equipment for the 27 new Chevrolet Tahoes that will be delivered to his department in May or June, saying he needed more time to review it. The plan presently calls for the purchase of 27 laptop docking stations and 27 input car adapters for $25,671 from GTS Technology Solutions, 27 cameras for $262,197 from Exxon Enterprise, 44 automated external defibrillators for $57,288 from AED First Response, 27 cradle points, harnesses, and service plans for $36,584 from Verizon Wireless, 54 monitors for $5,224 from Loaded Dice Safety, and Streamlight LED flashlights for $3,240 from Streamlight Stingers. The Tahoes are coming from Parkway Chevrolet at Tomball, northwest of Houston, for a purchase of cost of $2.5 million. General Motors shut off all new orders for Tahoes yesterday, but the dealer had 30 in stock, Griffiths said, January 26th. But they're not the color we wanted. They're white, and we wanted gray. The commissioners also approved medical examiner Ron Igene's request for two Nikon cameras and accessories to be bought with CARES Act money, okayed a proposal to adjust to an increased work demand and extend seasonal employees through the end of the year, approved a total of $13,508 in the library's annual list of gifts and memorials, transferred $70,000 from road maintenance to salaries in the Highways and Streets Department, and extended online auctioneering services. Also from the front page, Future Teachers of Odessa Widens Reach by Ruth Campbell, a program offered through Ector County ISD's Career and Technology Education Department is aimed at attracting more teachers by offering it to a wider audience. Future Teachers of Odessa currently has a little more than 20 juniors and seniors in it. Next school year, it will be offered to freshmen and sophomores. We have just a little over 20 juniors and seniors. It's not a very big number, so we obviously hope that the benefits of extending it down to grade 9 will attract more students, knowing that's just so many more college credit hours that are covered. Tuition and textbooks are covered by the district, said Carla Byrne, Executive Director of Career and Technical Education. This will be the first time 8th graders will be presented with the chance of starting the teaching program as freshmen instead of having to wait. We're allowing multiple points of entry into the program, Byron said. We know that a lot of students are not thinking about what it is they want to do with the rest of their lives in 8th grade. So we know it may not really be on their radar until the end of grade 9 or the end of grade 10 or even grade 11, Byron said. We want all our students to know no matter which point you enter, you'll be welcomed because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are working to graduate more students closer to degree completion and then teaching in our classrooms in ECISD. So, however many semester credit hours they can earn while they're with us, all the better, she added. Students can earn up to 78 semester credit hours if they start in grade 9. The Academy was established a couple of years ago and is one of the many ways the district and its partners are working to grow their own teachers. You could essentially be in a classroom at age 20. This is so monumental, especially when you think about students that go to college after high school, which is most of us, and then you graduate. So many people have student loan debt and they carry that debt for years sometimes. The students that take advantage of this program will not be strapped with that kind of student loan debt, Byron said. She noted that the program is similar to an early college high school without actually being one. It covers tuition and textbook fees for the students, but the students will be housed at their home campuses. Most of their classes will be on their high school campus with ECISD teachers who meet certain requirements. Then they will take classes at Odessa College and University of Texas Permian Basin to get the college experience. We're also going to be extending to the students a letter of intent to hire, and so that's really exciting. We're basically going to be saying to students, if you go into this program and you do well, we intend to hire you in ECISD. In turn, those students will sign a letter of commitment to the district, Byron said. The letter of intent lets them know that we will hire them upon successful completion of their degree and their certification. And if they're able to pass a background check, so all the normal things that teachers go through before they're hired, they will just have such a huge leg up on kids that don't start the program until after they graduate high school, she added. George H.W. Bush, New Tech Odessa, Senior Emmanuel Garcia, 18, said this is his first year in the program. His mother, Angie Garcia, taught for 14 years. I really like the idea of teaching because I think teachers really build the next generation, Garcia said. I think there are also students that need teachers because for some people, teachers are just that older person they can look to. I like the idea of helping people in that way. Garcia said he's not sure where he's going to go to college and is unsure what grade he wants to teach. But he likes the program. I wish I would have started earlier. I feel it really does give people an opportunity to get engaged with what they are. And I feel like it just gives people the option to start early and explore what you want to do. So I really like that. And they have really good teachers for it, in my opinion, Garcia said. Natalie Jones, 18, has been in the program since her junior year. She's a senior now at New Tech and plans to attend University of Texas Permian Basin. I want to be a teacher because I want to inspire children to be their best selves and make a successful future for themselves, Jones said. 417 days. For 417 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 16,528 total cases, 349 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 1 student, 0 staff. Midland County, 16,852 total cases, 258 deaths. Texas, 2,757,552 total cases, 47,446 deaths. United States cases, 27,708,385 total confirmed and 540,503 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. COVID-19 vaccines. Medical Center Hospital is administering COVID-19 first dose Pfizer vaccines from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at MCH Urgent Care locations at 3001 JBS Parkway and at 6030 West University Boulevard. Vaccines are for Phase 1A frontline workers and residents at long-term care facilities and Phase 1B, most at risk and for ages 65 and older. No appointment is necessary and walk-ins are welcome. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. Visit mchodessa.com/coronavirus. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 520 East 6th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines. The vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. To check on availability or to make an appointment, call 432-582-8549 or visit www.odessaregionalmedicalcenter.org/vaccine. ORMC will contact those who received the first dose, Pfizer dose, at Ratliff to set their second booster shot appointment. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, is administering COVID-19 Pfizer vaccines. Vaccines are free of charge while supplies last. The vaccines are for healthcare workers, school child care employees, anyone with a chronic condition, and for those 50 years and older. To schedule an appointment, call 432-498-4141, option 0. Visit www.facebook.com/Ector County Health Department or www.co.ector.tx.us/page/Ector. Coronavirus COVID-19. John Garcia, MD, PA West Texas Wellness Clinic, 2453 East 11th Street, is administering COVID-19 vaccines while supplies last. To make an appointment or for more information, call 582-0300 or visit www.facebook.com/JGA. ARCIAL23 or WestTexasWellness.com. Walgreens has limited COVID-19 vaccines available in select areas. For eligibility requirements or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHR6NEUD. HEB pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. To sign up, updates, or information, visit vaccine.heb.com. The CVS stores are administering the COVID-19 vaccine by appointment only in select stores based on local eligibility guidelines. For guidelines to schedule an appointment or for more information, visit cvs.com, CVS Pharmacy app, or call 800-746-7287. United Supermarkets will be administering free COVID-19 vaccines soon. For updates, visit www.unitedsupermarkets.com/COVID-19vaccine. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies are administering the COVID-19 vaccine based on state and federal eligibility guidelines in select areas. For guidelines to schedule an appointment or for more information, visit www.walmart.com/cp/122-8302 or www.samsclub.com/pharmacy. Local News Roundup, COVID-19 Testing. The state is offering COVID-19 testing through the end of March at Floyd Gwynn Park, 1015 North County Road West. Examinations are conducted from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saliva tests are available to anyone 5 years old or older with or without symptoms. Results will be sent by email within 2 days. To pre-register, visit www.DocHealthTesting.com. Call 267-362-5207 or text DocSTX to 41411. Exhibit, World War II Heroes featuring 31 portraits of the men and women who served in the armed forces during World War II through Thursday at the Museum of the Big Bend Alpine. Photographer Satch Coco has a great appreciation for and a connection with our nation's military heroes. His grandfather, a World War II veteran. Biographies for the portraits can be viewed on cell phones by use of a QR code on labels next to each portrait. Gallery guides will be available as well. Museum hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. The museum is located on the campus of Sol Ross State University at entrance number 4. For more information, visit museumofthebigbend.com or call 432-837-8143. Joyful Sound Choir. First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue in Midland, has scheduled a Joyful Sound Choir from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Thursdays through Monday through May 27th at the church choir room. All singers from the community age 55 plus are invited to join. For more information, call James Irvin at 432-683-0600 or visit tinyurl.com/YSCRCZSM. Neighborhood Watch Meeting. The West Odessa Neighborhood Watch has scheduled a Neighborhood Watch Meeting at 7 p.m. Thursday at the new Sheriff's Office, West Odessa Annex, 2265 Sycamore Drive. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths and Commissioner Mike Gardner will be available for a meet and greet. Visit www.facebook.com/Ector County Sheriff's Office or ectorcountysheriff.us. Town Hall Attendees Unhappy with Dems. By Frederico Martinez. Republican August Pfluger covered a wide variety of issues during a 90-minute town hall meeting in Midland on Monday, including concerns that Mexican drug dealers are responsible for helping thousands of Mexican youths illegally cross the border. He also accused Democrats of trying to pass more laws that will allow transsexuals to use women's restrooms. Democrats this week plan to try and pass legislation that would allow men to go into restrooms with 13-year-old girls. 13-year-old girls like your daughters and mine, Pfluger told the more than 120 people at the Bush Convention Center who participated in the town hall. I believe people should treat each other with respect, but there is a limit. This one crosses the line. Pfluger also told attendees he is concerned that thousands of Mexican youths are illegally crossing the border and pouring into Texas, where they are destabilizing communities. He said drug cartels and coyotes are helping to smuggle some children across the border for their own gain. Pfluger said he opposes the federal government's plan, a plan he blamed on the Biden administration, to lock the children up in American facilities instead of deporting them. One such facility is located near Midland, and another one is in Pecos. He is especially unhappy that the federal government recently brought some of the teens to Midland, where they are being housed in facilities without the knowledge of state and local officials. Pfluger's comments were met with concerns by residents, one who characterized the flood of immigrants entering the U.S. as an invasion. Pfluger, who agreed, told residents that Governor Greg Abbott is currently looking at using the National Guard and Texas Rangers and local police to block people from illegally crossing the border, a move Pfluger said he supports. "You're not going to hear me say this very often," Pfluger said, "but this is something the federal government should be doing." Pfluger agreed with residents who expressed fears that undocumented immigrants entering the country are dangerous and pose a safety threat to Texans. "It's a real threat," Pfluger responded when one resident stated that our Second Amendment rights are more vital than ever with migrants coming into our country. Pfluger also expressed sympathy towards residents who said they fear that their rights are being eroded. Several residents angrily pointed out that they believe black people are being allowed to riot and commit crimes freely without penalty. But several noted that more than 400 people who were accused of rioting at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th are being charged with crimes. "I'm a grandmother of a little white boy, and I'm terrified for him," one woman in attendance told Pfluger. Others in attendance claimed that California is trying to pass a law that would prohibit Christians from serving on the police force. Another person claimed Portland politicians are ordering police not to arrest black people. "It's actually worse than you described," Pfluger told the crowd. "These things are part of the Democrats' cancel cultural efforts." Man charged with shooting at OPD officers while driving. OA News at OAOA.com. A 32-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly shot at Odessa Police Department officers while he was evading arrest in a vehicle in West Odessa. Salvador Lerma III was charged with aggravated assault against a public servant with a deadly weapon, a first-degree felony, and evading arrest or detention with a vehicle, a third-degree felony. He is also being held by the U.S. Marshals. The reported incident happened around 9:15 p.m. March 20th as Lerma was driving a silver 2007 BMW in the 4400 block of Northwest Loop 338. A Texas Department of Public Safety probable cause affidavit detailed. OPD officers reportedly had prior knowledge that Lerma doesn't have a valid driver's license and the vehicle's insurance status showed unconfirmed. Officers activated their red and blue emergency lights and siren in a fully marked OPD unit to conduct a traffic stop. Lerma refused to pull over and evaded officers, the affidavit stated. DPS troopers assisted with a lengthy pursuit throughout West Texas, West Odessa. Lerma began shooting at the officers attempting to stop him. Lerma reportedly crashed on the property of 2920 Yuma Avenue, where he was taken into custody. He was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 2:17 a.m. March 21st. Jail records show. He has two bonds totaling $65,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday morning. Police searching for man, woman. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a man and woman that were involved in an auto burglary and credit card abuse. The auto burglary happened March 11th in the 2200 block of Hanley Street, an OPD press release stated. Property stolen included credit cards. The man and woman reportedly used the victim's credit card at the Walmart located at 2450 Northwest Loop 338. The suspects purchased approximately $132 worth of merchandise with the victim's credit card and left the scene in a red four-door sedan with a spare tire on the back left side. OPD has released photos of the man and woman and sedan that can be seen at tinyurl.com/4xvszrde. Anyone with information about the burglary or credit card abuse is asked to contact Officer R. Jones at 432-335-3333 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 21-0003902. Tickets still available for awards dinner. OA News at OAOA.com. Tickets are going fast but still available for the 4th annual Odessa Under 40 Awards Dinner and Gala scheduled for 6 p.m. Saturday, June 19th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. For tickets of sponsorships information, contact Carla Hartwig at carlah@odessachamber.com or 432-333-7854. Honorees of 2021 include Aaron Thomas, Crisis Center of West Texas, YOLO Excellence Above Talent, Alexa Dunson, the University of Texas Permian Basin, Kara Bucknell, Prime Lending, Carly Hernandez, Southwest Bank, Carrie Beyer, ECISD Permian High School UTPB Counseling Training Clinic, Cassandra Wilcox, Endurance Lift Solutions, Crystal Villegas Livario, Frost Bank, Eric Prado, Rooster's Diner, Gerardo Ramirez, ECISD, George H.W. Bush, New Tech, Odessa, and John Madrid, Mad Trucking, Oak Creek Homes. Other honorees include Joseph C. Morgan, Permian Basin Foot and Ankle, Julie Prentice, Ector County District Attorney's Office, Justin Long, Netsworth, Kara Stribling, ECISD, Murray Fly Elementary, Laura Faber, Eyes of Texas, Lauren James, Lauren James Children's Company, Logan Price, Audio Acoustics Hearing Center Incorporated, Meredith McKeehan, Weaver LLP, Myra Arzate, Complex Community Federal Credit Union, Romario Selena II, Odessa Pumps and Equipment Incorporated, and Sean Trotter, Salisbury. The event is sponsored by Young Professionals of Odessa and Sewell Cadillac Buick GMC.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.